This is Archer, archerradio.com. Today is Monday, August, what's the date? Monday the 21st, is that right?
Oh, it'll be Monday.
Yeah. And I am here at Archer's house, studio, well, we're in the dining room, so it could be Studio C. And we are eating a delicious dinner that the boyfriend prepared for us. Is it steak?
Steak.
Steak and a...
potatoes.
Baked potato with cheese. Oh my goodness, please excuse me.
Stop that burping.
I'm sorry. Cheese, baked potato, baked potato, cheese, butter, salt and pepper, and you had sour cream in yours, right?
And you had some in yours too, didn't you?
No, I did
not.
Yes,
you did.
No, I did not.
I bet you did.
Mm-mm. No, I didn't.
Are you enjoying your buffalo meat?
It's not buffalo, we just said steak.
I came back from the store, and what did I tell you?
I bought this yesterday myself.
You know, I am capable of all kinds of sleights of hand.
Trickery.
I sampled buffalo meat at the Whole Foods, and it tastes just like beef. You would really never know the difference.
When I was in kindergarten or first grade, we had buffalo burgers because we were studying it. By the way, we're still eating our dinner, and they were good. And we do want to mention that, by the way, Homer, if you're listening, we are drinking the bottle of wine that you brought to us when you visited a couple weeks ago.
Dos Cabezas.
I thought you said it differently before.
No, it means
Cabezas.
Cabezas. It means two hats.
Okay. Well, it's a 2004 Toscana. Is that right?
They call it Toscano.
Okay.
And it's from 2004. And it's a blend of Sangiovese, Cabernet Sauvignon, and
Petite
Verdot. Petite Syrah, I'm sorry.
Petite Syrah.
And it's quite nice. Let's describe it. It's got a deep garnet color.
Yes, very red.
Characteristic of the you know, the deep red.
Probably from this
from
Cab
the varietals. Well, according to the label, it's mostly Sangiovese, but it's not a big monster red. I would call this more medium-bodied. It's got a lot of berry and.
I think it's pretty fruity. Yeah.
Fruit, but you know, there's some spice that comes from the oak.
Mm-hmm.
You get that little bit of green pepper, green herb.
Mm. Yeah. Spicy, I would call it spicy. I don't know if I'd call it green pepper.
Well, there's some green in there, which is characteristic of Cabernet Sauvignon. If we're getting that, it's characteristic of Cabernet Sauvignon. Now, you have to admit, I am very good at picking out these kinds of characteristics.
Yes, you
Whether
are.
Whether it's grass, straw, herb, mint, eucalyptus. You always look at me like a three-headed hydra.
Yeah.
Until we ask the tasting associates who said, well, yes, that's a characteristic of Cabernet Franc, or green hints of green pepper, or green, or herb. That's, you know, you should get that from Cabernet Franc or Sauvignon, Cabernet Sauvignon or whatever. And then I have to give you my victory sign.
Oh yeah, the victory sign. Oh.
So I get some of that. So I would say, even though it's mostly Sangiovese, I think Cabernet Sauvignon definitely makes an appearance here.
Oh yes.
And you know, the Petite Syrah has a bit of a more of a spice or pepper finish, so that's
maybe that's where that's coming from.
That's peeking out too.
Yeah,
it's quite nice.
When I tasted it before we started eating dinner, and before looking at the bottle, I said, "What is this? Mostly Cabernet Sauvignon?" Because I picked out the Cabernet Sauvignon. When really, it's mostly Sangiovese.
Mm-hmm.
And I know I just burped twice, but I'm having dinner, and that's what happened. So, Travis, please forgive me.
Well, your listeners know that you're very gaseous. So.
Yeah, but I've been really good lately about not burping on the podcast.
That's true. Yeah.
Unlike John Ong, who burps every time. But anyway, I wanted to tell Homer that we are really enjoying this bottle of wine.
Yeah, thanks, Homer. It's very good.
It has gone very well with our steak and potato.
And it gets a gold star from two teachers.
That's right. So, Homer, we are very pleased with this bottle.
Well, you would
wine.
Give, because you teach elementary school, so you would give like a happy face to this, wouldn't you?
I'd give a star, gold star.
You don't do happy faces or cutie pie stickers.
Yeah.
When I taught middle school, I had to do that.
And that's not your style.
Not at all. I would rather just be very honest and say, excellent, well written, or this sucks.
He wouldn't say this sucks.
Go home and slap your mother for giving birth to it. Oh. No, I don't
You're
do that.
Terrible.
I'm not that mean.
Absolutely terrible.
Really, I'm not.
Well, so this has been a crazy week for me in terms of home improvement and handymen and contractors and so forth. I haven't told the listening audience about my crown molding incident this week, so I'm going to just talk about that while you're finishing your steak, okay? Excuse me. You might have heard me say it, on Tuesday I hired, in quotes, this handyman to install my crown molding. Well, I should have known it was not going to work because he showed up to my condo in a taxi cab that he had gone to Home Depot and to get the supplies with, and he had the wood sticking out both sides of the cab as he drove up. It was quite a... I wish I had my camera. But then he proceeds... Well, first of all, he was 2 hours late from when he said he was going to be there. And then he takes forever. I mean, like, from like 10:30 in the morning, 10:50, 10 of 11, until like 1:30. He spent all that time trying to figure out how to cut the wood correctly to go up on the wall, the ceiling. And after whatever, how much time it is, 2.5 hours or whatever of time, he only had one piece of wood up on the wall. So I'm thinking to myself, obviously this guy has never put crown molding up before and doesn't know how to use the miter box to cut the wood correctly. Excuse me. So then he says, okay.
Oh
honey.
That there goes Lucy.
That was... Look at my placement now, too.
Ethel.
Yeah, you're Lucy. I'm Ethel.
I'm Lucy and Ethel combined.
Oh, and Ethel. Anyway, so this guy at this time, like 1:30 or something like that, 10 after 1 or something like that, he says, okay, I need to go get my lunch and I need to, you know, do a couple things. I said, okay, well, when will you be back? Oh, about 40 minutes or so. Almost 3 hours later, 2.5 hours later, he shows back up and says, oh, I said, oh, I thought you abandoned the job. Oh, no, I'm sorry, I had things to do. So I just assumed he probably had to walk because he didn't have a car.
Maybe he had to take a very long shit.
Well, that might be the case, but I have 2 bathrooms. He could have done it here.
Maybe he was embarrassed.
In any case, when he came back, I said to him, because the two pieces that he had up on the ceiling, up at the wall, I looked at closely at when he was gone, and he totally had it wrong. He didn't cut them at a 45-degree angle. He just did a butt joint on one and cut the other one and just filled the rest of the space with caulk. So when he came back, I said to him, I said, I think this is wrong. I think you're supposed to cut a 45-degree angle. He says, oh, no. With this molding that you bought, This is the way you have to do it. I said, no, it's not. This is the most standard molding that people get. I bought it at Home Depot, and they're, you know, everybody buys it. You're wrong. He goes, well, no. Look, your ceiling has this popcorn ceiling. It's very hard to get it flat. I mean, he was making up every excuse he could to make me think that he knew what he was doing when clearly he did not. And then I said, well, no, look, it's here, because I had done some research on the internet while he was gone. I said, look, this on the internet says you're supposed to cut it at a 45-degree angle, and the two joint, they meet together at a joint, and it's angled out properly. And he's like, oh, that can't be right. And I said, look, read it yourself. So he was getting all, you know, defensive that he obviously didn't know what he was doing. And then I had to show him how to cut in the miter box. Well, then I let him work for another 2 hours. And by this time, it's like 20 after 6. So he had been here a total of maybe 4.5 hours. And I had spent the entire day just listening to him, you know, chew up the wood, because he made many, many mistakes in the cutting. And he finally decided he's going to go ahead and put these two pieces up. Well, he put the two pieces back up, and there was like a quarter-inch gap between them. And I'm like, you know, this is just not working out. I think we need to throw in the towel here. Clearly, you don't know what you're doing. You know, you don't have any experience. You had to buy your saw in your box just this morning. You don't have any tools. You didn't bring with a come with a ladder. I had to give you my stool. I mean, all this kind of stuff. Clearly, this guy was just out of his element. So I said, here, I'm going to pay you for the materials, and I think you should just go. And he got all, you know, defensive, like, oh, no, I want to finish this job. I never leave a job unfinished. I'm like, well, you don't know what you're doing. And I'd rather have it done right, so you are going to leave. So I gave him the money for the materials, and he left. Thank God. But now I don't have crown molding up, and I have all this lumber sitting here in my dining room. So what should I do, Mr. Boyfriend?
Well, I think one of your readers gave you some excellent advice. And it's advice that I've given you, and you don't listen to me.
That's the advice? You don't listen to me?
No. The advice, piece of advice is, you have to be patient.
You don't think I was patient with him?
You're not. I'm not talking about with him. I'm talking about in regard to your home projects, your reconstruction, your kitchen,
the
walls,
mess.
Carpeting. I went through this 2 years ago. You have to be patient. You cannot let it bother you, annoy you. Contractors are on their own schedules. You have to be very selective. A lot of them are very flaky. So you really have to, you know, chat with them, interview them. So most of the reputable contractors will give you references, call them. And it took me, I think, a month or two just to find a contractor.
Well, it's going to take me that long, right?
The work. And even then, he was very reputable, and he was a contractor who subcontracted all the things that I wanted to do.
Right.
And I didn't have a ton of work to do. But it was enough that...
But you renovated your kitchen, right?
No. I had my walls redone because we had a lot of pipes that broke and all
right.
that. So I had to be replastered. The floors had to be redone. I had a tile backsplash put in my kitchen. I had electrical work done, you name it, plumbing, all that. So, and that was, and then painting. Well, I could have painted the place myself, but then... The plaster was all wet from these pipes breaking, and some of them were my pipes that broke. I mean, because I had to get them all fixed. Well, I couldn't do that myself. But then, can you imagine having to call someone who does walls? I tried calling painters on my own. I explained the situation. They wouldn't even call me back. Once I mentioned wet plaster, they wouldn't even call me back. I had another crew come out. They looked at my walls, and they did some knocking and tapping, and they noticed I had wet walls and... Oh, you have a lot of electricity in your ceiling. They left and never called me back.
Yeah.
They just didn't want to do it because it's a ton of work. So finally I found this guy. He said, 2 weeks, we'll get it done. 2 weeks became 5 weeks.
That's always the case. I do know
unforeseen,
that.
Unforeseen.
Yes. You have to build in 10% of your budget just to the overcost.
The guy who does the floors, his live-in girlfriend left him for another man, and he's having a bad day. He went drinking last night. He'll do your floors next week. Well, there's nothing you can do about it. So you've got to be patient. And it's better to be selective.
Yes.
Find someone who's going to do quality work, professionals who are professional and bonded. You can trust them in your home and just kind of let it go.
Well, are you prepared to have my house be a mess for like several months? Like until Christmas?
Well, yes, but let's be realistic. I mean, when you decide you're going to do this project, it's August. So it's not going to take 4 months.
Well, but remember all of what I want to have done.
Right.
I want to have the kitchen renovated first.
Right.
Then I want to have the floors done.
Yeah.
Then I want the crown molding done.
I think you're looking
and
at...
And then I'm going to do the painting myself, because I did all this painting myself this time. I can do it again.
Okay.
So I'm talking... It's going to take 6 months to get all this done.
I think 4 weeks, but...
4 weeks?
Yes.
Honey,
carpeting will take a day.
I'm not having the carpet. I'm going to have the hardwood put down.
Okay, but...
So maybe 2 days.
Yes, I had my floor. That'll take a week.
Okay. But the painting...
Kitchen, maybe, and you don't have bad walls or bad plumbing or,
really,
bad
it's just
wires
replacement
or,
of the things that are there, so...
So, maximum 2 weeks.
I think three, but we'll
and
see.
And you've got enough money back from your
refinancing
that...
Yeah, I
if
can
you
pay
thought
for
about
it
realistically... if you found a contractor, you can get this place painted for cheap.
Oh, no, no. I'm doing the painting myself. I'm way too particular about the painting.
But you know what? When it's a week, if you did this yourself, it would be every weekend or every day after work.
Well, that's what
that's where the several weeks or even months.
Yes, I agree with that. I would not do that to you because that's what I went through with an ex-boyfriend. I would not make you come to my house and be with me while I'm painting my house. I would not do that to you. It would be after work.
I hate to tell you, I wouldn't help you.
Well, I'm not saying that you would help me.
Because I know you have a substantial sum of money from your
refinancing. Yeah, quit telling people that.
And from your floor, so I know you can get this place professionally painted. And you know what? When you let someone else do it and you can just walk out of the house, you really don't mind that it's not as perfect as you would do it.
Well, exactly. So
you really wouldn't
mind. I would want it done my way. But here's the thing that that really is.
But is your way really the perfect way?
No, but it's the way that I like it. You like things your way, I like things my way.
No, I like my way is I just like it done.
Yeah, you don't care.
Do you think my walls are poorly painted?
No, they look very nice. We have the same color in our dining rooms.
Yeah. But I just had to let that go. I had to let that perfectionism streak go.
Well, but really my concern is, like, for example, the floors, when the floors are done, that means everything has to be moved out of here. I'm concerned about breakage, denting things, you know.
And so that's why you hire bonded people, so that when your things are damaged, they pay for it.
I'd rather have them not damaged. Some of these things I can't replace.
Okay, but you're going... When I had my place done, I packed all my shit and I stored it. I packed it in bubble wrap and newspaper and I boxed it.
Yeah, I'll
so they didn't even touch it. The painting and floor crew moved the furniture themselves.
Yeah,
they
I'm moved afraid of the armoire with the TV in it. That thing's heavy as hell.
So anyway. You would want to move that yourself.
Where would I move it to?
That's what you're going to have to move it to paint it.
I would move it out. Listen
to what I'm telling you. I'm just telling you from my own experience. I had furniture to move. I had all kinds of shit to do. I packed all my stuff off the walls because I have walk-in closets. So it all went in closets. It was all wrapped, boxed, and put in closets and cabinets.
Yes.
So they didn't have to fool with any of my breakables. The only thing they had to move, my hutch, which has a glass panel,
mm-hmm.
and they wrapped that. The professionals wrapped it because the floor people and the painting people both had to fool with that furniture. So the general contractor I hired coordinated all of this. So they moved the furniture to one half of the house. And the floors and the walls were done in that half. Then when that half was done, they moved the furniture themselves to the... And this was like a crew of people. I just went to work every day.
I'm sure.
I spent only one day when they did the floors, only because I couldn't stand the smell. I had my wood floors redone.
Yeah.
But I stayed in my apartment. I had a bed to sleep in. My stove was available. I could scramble an egg and my toaster. It was so much easier that way than having to do it all myself or to contact different people working on different schedules. And it was fairly affordable. I could not have done that work. When you consider the stress, the time, the aggravation, the products you have to use, the trips to Home Depot. Let this man do it.
Did you think for one second that you would do it yourself?
Well, I think I can hold a paintbrush in my hand, but then how long would that have taken me? Like the floors. I think someone told me, another homosexual who was not necessarily a handyman, he did the floors himself. He said, all you need is a machine and, you know, the varnish and whatever they did. But it took him how many weekends? Because he worked.
Oh.
It's not difficult. It's just time, energy, and then the labor. And then when are you going to do it?
Yeah.
So I, like you, I had a sizable sum of money available to do my home repairs. I contacted this one man. I went to work, and when it was done, all I had to do was put the paintings, the artwork back on the walls,
and
sit on the sofa, and just look around and say, it's done. It's beautiful.
Well, that's what I'm going to do, but finding the right person is going to be the thing that's going
to
take
a while. Well, I'm giving you a name and you've refused to act on it. And then I said, contact colleagues at work who've done this similar
thing. I'm going to do that, but I already have a contact that I want to...
Yeah, you've done that. You said you have a name from somewhere. Yeah. Your desk clerk.
The lady downstairs.
And I gave you the name of the person that yes. I used.
Yes.
So you
But you said you weren't sure if they were still in business.
No, they're still around.
Well, anyway, this lady who's at the desk, who works our front desk, I told her, I said, I'm going to be, working on my kitchen. And so she goes, I just had my kitchen refinished. And I said, really? Let me see it. So she showed me her condo kitchen, and it's absolutely gorgeous. Top of the line, 42-inch cabinets, stainless steel appliances. She even has a separate ice maker built into her cabinets and not in the refrigerator. And glass front doors and overhead lighting. I mean, all kinds of stuff. And I said, how much did this cost you? $32,000 for a kitchen that is 10 by 10.
Well, but she chose to have all. I mean, that's a lot of specialty.
Oh, she's
you
got
don't, you don't
solid marble.
Right. I mean, you're not necessarily going. For
hell
that
no,
scale.
I can't afford that.
Well, but now I think your walls are fine. Why do you want to? When did you last paint your walls?
8 years ago.
Oh, they look fine.
The thing that I know that they have to be painted, the moldings have been scraped up and stuff, and like if you look in the hallway, there's marks of dings and. Little, where things have hit the wall that have just, it's got to be fixed. After 8 years, it's time to repaint.
Yeah, okay.
And I want to redo, where I have these pictures hanging, so I'll, fill in the walls and stuff.
Right.
So anyway, I didn't mean to make this whole podcast about my contracting stuff.
But painters, professional painters do that too. They will...
Oh, I know. Yeah, I know that.
All of that.
I know.
All you have to do is come home from work and marvel.
Yeah. I don't know about that. So...
Let go, honey. Just let go.
Let go. What's that saying? Let go and let God?
And let loose.
And let go and let God let loose?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know if you can hear that music in the background. I've got the classical music going. Do you like that music?
It's beautiful. I think you've got, sounds like Debussy or...
It's...
classical station, but it's...
Actually, it's not the classical station. It's, I have the cable, the Cox cable. Well, with the digital tier, you get all these music channels, and it's just classical through the cable.
It sounds like 19th century. I'm guessing Debussy.
I don't know. I've got it going through the Bose home entertainment system. So that it sounds good. But I don't know if they can hear it or not. So.
We were chatting earlier about a 1 year anniversary coming up.
What's 1 year anniversary?
Hurricane Katrina.
Oh my gosh, yes. It's coming up very soon.
Because my parents were up to visit.
Yeah, oh, that's right. Last week.
Yes.
Yes.
And so we were talking about the latest official statistics and the state of affairs with our current
administration.
President who, a year ago at this time, well, Katrina hit on August 29th, but of course, our no one's at home president was off, who's on vacation. That had been his, his fourth week of vacation.
But he had a video conference with all of the
people. Well, but wait a minute,
people.
We have to remember, August 2001, George Bush went on vacation.
Oh, you're going back that
I'm
far.
I'm going back that far. August 2001, George Bush went on one of his seven-week vacations to Crawford, Texas. I don't think I'm exaggerating. I think these were like 5 or 6 week vacations that he was away from the Capitol.
And he was
He had a lot of brush to clear, and he had some
horses,
barbecue to grill. And no, he doesn't ride. This is the thing with George Bush.
He doesn't ride a horse.
He doesn't ride a horse for all the big belt buckles and boots and all that. He doesn't ride a horse. Hmm. In fact, well, let's even talk about the hunting, because...
I'm going to give you like 4 to 5 minutes to discuss this, okay?
Why?
Because that's going to be running over on the podcast, and people don't like to listen more than 30 minutes.
But they like to listen to me.
They do? Well, okay, can I just interject here just for a second? Special Delivery Mark wants you to talk about the Dreyfus Affair.
Well, we'll talk about Jarvis Fair, but that's another podcast.
But he wants you to compare it to whatever is happening with the Camp Pendleton 8 or something. I don't know. Another day?
Another day.
All right.
All right. I can certainly do the Dreyfus Fair.
Okay, we'll get back to what you're talking about.
All right.
We're back in 2001.
Anyway, 2001, President gets a memo. And I was talking about because I like the conversation you had with Mark about macho men and images and really the cartoon characters that masquerade as real men.
Yes.
And so the current state of affairs we have with George Bush, who isn't really a cowboy, doesn't really ride a horse, didn't really grow up in Texas, bought a ranch in 1999, probably doesn't really clear his own brush. Do we really think that ranch goes to pot until George gets there with the chainsaw? No.
That's totally a photo op.
But the same is true with Shaky Heart Cheney.
Shaky Heart Cheney.
He doesn't really hunt. They shoot at birds that have been in cages.
And then released.
And then he couldn't even shoot them. He shot his friend in the face. So they are unreal. They are not real men. They're
macho image is not real.
The real image of men, that they are unreal. And they are unreal. So August 2001, George Bush should have received a memo that said, Bin Laden threatens to strike America, in which details about terrorist plots, including use of airplanes, are detailed. Well, of course, he's never been held accountable for that memo, because then September 11th rolled around and it happened.
Because
But then, of course, he was clearing brush and all of this, and I guess the memo he probably never even knew about it, because he doesn't like to hear bad news. And that certainly would have been a piece of bad news. It would have ruined his vacation.
Well, and Cheney runs the country anyway.
So. Well, he runs foreign policy. And Project for New American Century, we can't forget, impetus behind all that what we see now, including what's happening in Israel. But anyway, I digress. So then, so that was one disastrous summer, but he wasn't held accountable for that. But then August 2005, another 6 or 7 week vacation, and at a time when gas prices are an all-time high, and most Americans can't afford to go on vacation because they have to work just to pay the gas bill and to get health care and all this, and here's George Bush. But anyway, so here he is. It's August 27th, August 28th. He's sitting at a conference. Weather experts, including the head of the Hurricane Center, who says to George Bush, a catastrophic hurricane will destroy New Orleans in 24 hours. And the Weather Service director clearly details what's going to happen. The city is going to flood. Roofs are going to blow away. Lives are severely endangered.
Even FEMA director, what's his name, was telling him.
Yeah, Michael Brown. And he just sat there like an incurious. And here's the big word I use with him, incurious. Not wanting to know.
Because I'm sure he thought somebody else is going to take care of this.
Well, whatever. Maybe he just didn't know what a hurricane was. And Karl Rove had to do his picture slides, whatever he does.
Yeah.
His show and tell episodes. Look, George, hurricane, windy, large wind and water, dangerous. Anyway, hurricanes are windy.
All right, move on.
Can you spot the hurricane in the picture, George? Anyway, it hadn't gotten to that point yet, so he just sat there like a lump and didn't ask any questions, didn't say a word. Well, of course, it happened. And in the meantime, while people were fighting for their lives in this catastrophic disaster, he was off picking guitar and going to fundraisers with John McCain and country western singers. And so here it is a year later, and I really do think, if there is any silver lining with Hurricane Katrina, it was absolutely horrible. My parents were up this weekend and talking about the latest things that are going on and all of this, and it's just horrible to hear. But if there's any silver lining, it really was the exposure. Katrina's winds blew off the mask that had been covering the face of George Bush. Not just for 6 years. For 60 years, the mask he has been wearing since the day he was born. So, Now, the disturbing thing is that the governor of Louisiana, Kathleen Blanco, my parents are saying, she wants to have these memorial services on August 29th to commemorate Katrina and the disaster and when it made landfall. And, of course, everyone's following the court battles. And even, you know, if you go on YouTube, people who stayed behind and braved this horrible thing are documenting the wind damage, their roofs and homes flying apart because insurance companies aren't paying for wind damage.
Or wind-driven water damage.
And wind-driven water and flood and what does your insurance cover and all, you know, we're not going to pay. And you know, you pay for insurance and yet these people have lost everything. And so Kathleen Blanco, governor of Louisiana, wants to have this day of commemoration. Well, who does she invite? George Bush.
Oh, God. He won't come, will he?
Well, you know, his approval rating in Louisiana, and Louisiana voted 60% for George Bush in 2004. His approval rating in Louisiana is now 38%.
Wasn't there just a poll out that was 30? He's dropped down to 34%?
National average is 33%.
Okay.
And in New England, for example, in the Northeast, it's as low as 28%. So it's pretty abysmal. So, you know, I kind of raised this issue with my parents. Well, do you really want George Bush there? I mean, I think it's appropriate because he is the face of incompetence. I mean, the city was literally destroyed.
It was drowning when he was
so on vacation. Yes. Let's face it.
And he even said when he did that speech, he said, I had to leave my vacation early to come home, or something like that. Like,
well, and then he
5 days early had to come back.
He felt sorry for Trent Lott, who lost his plantation-style home, and congratulating Michael Brown for being an incompetent twit, and all this. And of course, this was like 4 or 5 days later after Gulf Coast had been obliterated. So,
do you think he's going to show up to this memorial?
I don't know because New Orleans is mostly African American, but many of them have left and. Or they're dead, and so those who have returned, New Orleans itself. You talk about the French Quarter uptown; it's fairly liberal and Democrat, and they voted Orleans Parish. It voted overwhelmingly Kerry.
Mm-hmm.
So if he goes there, he just as soon bring some protective gear because people will be throwing rotten Creole tomatoes at him.
Oh, God.
But, you know, sure, he only goes where he's accepted. And I'm sure his handlers would pick a Republican audience.
Absolutely. You can't get in there unless you're Republican.
The protesters will be outside at a safe distance, so he will never know that they're there. So he's going to, if he does go, he will leave with the impression that he's well-liked in New Orleans and that New Orleans is back up on its feet, even though you saw for yourself.
Oh.
It is dead. It's completely destroyed.
No signs of life.
Not a dog, cat, bird, human being in many parts of New Orleans. No remnants of life. It's all been blown away and destroyed. But he probably will never see those neighborhoods. He will never have to hear the protesters or hear the distress and the emotional trauma. He will go to a memorial service stocked with
Republicans who
picked by his handlers
like
and operatives. David Vitter, who thinks that gay marriage is the number one threat to the family in America, regardless of what happened in Louisiana, he will be there. And David Vitter, if you're listening, please respond to my email that I sent to you.
I mean, he's not going to listen to this.
Well, I know he's not, but it was a very passionate email.
I know. We talked about it on the show before.
And I even mentioned my loving boyfriend.
You did, and we talked about it on the show before.
And I admitted that I was a homosexual. My parents know I'm a homosexual. They love my boyfriend. Their home was damaged by the hurricane. And I think that getting their lives back together is more important than those gays who want to destroy the family. I haven't heard back from David Vitter. So you let me know what you think. Have I changed your mind, David Vitter? Will you let George Bush into New Orleans before he has completed several acts of contrition?
Okay, wrap it up.
Including resigning from office. You let me know.
Are you done?
Yes, I think I'm done.
Okay, I'm glad you were able to get that out.
Yeah.
All right, boys and girls, this is...
You know, I think he does... I think David Vitter might be a closet homosexual. Most of the rampant homophobes are He just true. Might be listening to you.
Okay, you're starting another conversation that we could certainly get into. However,
I bet he wears plaid shirts.
This is run a little long, so we're going to wrap this up. Thank you all for the email. I got some email from Special Delivery Mark, from Adam, from... God, I see I'm not on my computer. We're in the living room with the... the dining room with the Eye River, so I don't know. But thank you all for the email. We'll be back tomorrow with another show. So until next time...
Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.
Archer Radio.